Warning to all our listeners, this podcast contains far more ball and dick jokes than commonly put in our podcast. Please be careful while playing this podcast in front of children, your employer, and any vegetation.
The end. Oh, the beginning. Welcome to the show.
Santaholics, it's the Rad Tribal Podcast.
Welcome to Synthaholics, your weekly shot of Star Trek. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is Aaron O'Brien.
Hello.
And we've got a special guest. We met at Nickel City Con, like a month ago, or 2 months ago at this point. We've got Duchess on the line. She's one of the vendors in the vendors room, in the scary vendors room, where all the scary stuff was.
Oh, the macabre.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Happy to be here. We'll speak an accent the whole episode.
Well, not the whole episode. Oh, that'd be...
exhausting?
Yes.
Well,
tell us a little bit what you do first.
Yeah, let's the audience know who you are and what you do.
And what you are.
Well, I'm usually human being.
It's good.
Not super thrilled about that, but there's not much we can do at this point. I go to anime and comic book conventions and sell spooky stuff. Sort of long gothic and steampunk lines.
And horny stuff.
Yeah. And I do have a very deep fascination with all things sci-fi and cyberpunk. So that is
nice.
What brought me here.
And it was great. You were at Michelle Cromwell's. She's a friend of the show. She's been on our Comic-Con episodes before in the past. And you were over at her thing, and I was trying out my new gimbal. And you're actually in the Comic-Con video that I shot. So you can see her in that video. And Star Trek came up, and then, actually I asked you for a card, then Star Trek came up, and then we became best friends, like, after, like, 5 minutes.
Yay. And I was upstairs.
Aaron was upstairs at a stable.
Yeah.
He's, chained.
Chained to the table.
Can't move.
I was gonna say, it sounds like there was some slave labor involved.
It was.
It wasn't my fault. I didn't put him at the table.
No, I can't blame Dave for once.
He volunteered for that.
Yeah, I did.
I heard there were beer or something upstairs. You might have had it better than we did downstairs.
Yeah, actually, the upstairs, I would say, probably better than the downstairs. I think you guys got the shaft. But no, there was a bar right around the corner from you.
Yeah, there was.
On the downstairs.
Yes.
Inside the console?
Yeah.
Oh, one of them.
It's against the wall, against the inside wall.
I barely leave my table. I go outside for a cigarette break. I come back in. I sell stuff. I don't usually leave and wander around.
I start drinking after a while because it's all too much.
Drink it. Drink it. Oh! Did we have news this week, Aaron?
There's a lot of weird stuff going on.
News at 10.
Star Trek news.
Or whenever you hear this.
Well, from what we've just recently heard is that Patrick Stewart, they're trying to rope him finally to get him to do the animated version of Next Gen as a return.
That could be interesting, animated Next Gen. Yeah, but like last episode, I said I wasn't super on board with doing animated series.
Right.
But maybe it won't be so bad.
I think it could be cool.
I love the higher pitch.
Maybe
you're lying to yourself a little.
Well, so we have this love-hate relationship with the anime series from the 70s.
He loves it. I hate it.
Well, no. It's like we know it's not great, but it's so ridiculous. It's hilarious to talk about.
Right.
It is funny to talk about, but those episodes get like 5 listens.
Yeah, nobody's like, anime series.
It's like, click.
No.
So like, nobody cares about that.
Yeah, but there's a lot of, as the Nerdist video came out, there's a lot of stuff that they've mined from the new Star Trek films and possibly more from the animated series.
Oh, yeah. They mined a ton of stuff from for the 2009 movie, the Spock, you know, the yesteryear episode. They ripped a ton of stuff from yesteryear and put that into 2009. So there, since you know, unfortunately, Anton Yelchin passed, Aaron, you actually shared the video to our yes. Facebook group, mm-hmm. saying that maybe Arax could be
the new
Chekhov.
Yeah, the new navigator.
New navigator, three arms and three legs guy.
Could be interesting. And maybe MRS take over for Uhura once in a while.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I'd like to see MRS on the live action.
She'd be awesome.
I'd like to see Arax too, but I really want to see Jayla come back because I love Sofia Buletta playing Jayla. So I really kind of hope she takes Chekhov's
place. I don't know if
she'll
come back, but we'll see what happens.
I don't know, but I liked her a lot in Star Trek Beyond.
But yeah, I mean, I think Patrick Stewart coming back for an animated series is that's a huge thing.
Him coming back for anything is good.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
right.
He's a great actor. He was such a good character. Even if they used him, like, as a voice actor for a villain, like, I wouldn't even care, because if he's involved, I'd still want to see it.
Well, I mean, if it's an animated series, they could do, like, the Enterprise and the Titan and have, like, a dual adventures, since Riker would be on the Titan if they do a post.
That'd be so cool.
That would be really cool.
There's a lot of stuff.
That way you can still keep the whole cast, but just have two ships. Because that's one thing that Star Trek doesn't do well. They keep saying Starfleet, 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 and you see a ship everywhere.
Like, except for Wolf 359. But
sometimes an ambassador comes on an Excelsior class ship.
Yeah, so, it's just an Excelsior.
It comes on a 100-year-old ship, and he's like, "Yeah, check this shit out." He's like, "I'm on a 100-year-old ship."
It'd be fun if Picard goes, "That's a quaint ship you got there."
It's quaint.
Very quaint.
So quaint. I would like, with the animated series, maybe we can get more of that fleet stuff, and you could have the multiple ships working together,
sure.
which would be fun. I mean, Discovery's doing a little bit better. We are seeing a little bit more ships.
Of course,
With Discovery, since they've got a higher budget, but
right.
Most of Star Trek is just a ship, and then the alien ship of the week.
Do you wonder, though, if that's more because we can't memorize that many characters?
Well, I do know that when Wrath of Khan came out, the producers were very worried, or at least not the producers that were making the movie,
right.
But they were worried that people wouldn't tell the difference between the Reliant and the Enterprise because they both had.
They think we're stupid.
Yeah,
I think after Game of Thrones and it's a million and a half characters, I think we can deal with like two crews on a ship.
Yeah,
I think that's not too hard to figure out.
We might make it out. Yeah,
I mean, you could even do three or four now. Game of Thrones is so many freaking characters.
Yeah. I was going to mention that as a like example of that because I have such a hard time remembering shit in that show.
There's a lot going on
because there's so many.
Yeah. And they cut out a bunch from the books, too. So, I mean, like, there's so much more going on in the books, and the books are fantastic and brilliant. But I'd love to see a Game of Thrones, Star Trek in an actual Game of Thrones style, where there's a ship here and a ship here and a ship here, and then, like, sometimes they come together and sometimes they don't. That would be a fun format for Star Trek, I think, and not just following one ship. Follow a bunch of ships. What's happening in the fleet?
So you basically want a love triangle of Starfleet ships.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yes,
I'm down.
You know, we got to get a father ship and a mother ship and then a baby ship.
That's not a love triangle. That's a family.
No, that's not.
That's pedophile.
That's a pedophile joke you just told.
Exactly. We have interesting conversations before the show.
Yeah, let's not get into it.
No.
You want the one girl with the two guy ships who are like they can't.
Oh, two father ships.
Oh,
like,
right.
Situation.
Oh, yeah.
The reason I say father ship is because there's the Wing Commander Prophecy. It's a video game for the PC. It's the last Wing Commander game that came out.
Oh, now we're going deep in geek territory now.
Deep in geek territory. And people made fun of the ship because it basically, like, if you looked at it from the top down, it looked like a man from the waist down. Like, they were, like, legs kicked out, and, like, where the bridge was like, the penis. It was, like, it's literally hilarious. People called it the father ship.
It's the command center.
The command center. Let's get to the command center.
So these two big flat legs jutting out, and then, like, in between the legs, there was a jutting up, and it was, like, a penis, and that's where the bridge was. And it was hilarious, and people called it the father ship as a joke, because it literally looked like a dick and two legs.
So they actually took it back a little bit instead of just calling it penis ship.
Yeah, the father ship.
Well, I don't even know where to go with that. There's jokes break right themselves. To the command center.
Let's bring this to a head.
Let's dock.
Mothership incoming.
All right. Well, that was the news. The penis ship, so...
for a 20-something-year-old video game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we do have a our episode we're going to talk about today.
No, we're just talking about news today.
Or penis ships.
Yes. Penis ships, mostly.
That is the entire episode. It's all about penises.
She Duchess requested this. So
that would be actually hilarious if we did ships that look like penises.
Penis ships throughout the years.
And we just talk about ships that look like penises.
This ship looks like a phallus of an elephant. This one is more shaped like a donkey.
This one is vaguely Klingon.
Vaguely Klingon.
Oh, because it's got two penises.
Yes.
It's ridged for her pleasure.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, it's also ridged, but there's also two of them, so you get the Spocker. Yeah. With your dicks.
Yeah. So then you're saying you agree with that if you're going to have two penises, they have to be one on top of the other, not side by side.
It's got to be on top. That way you can do double penetration all the time.
Or you could just...
Side by side is just too tricky.
Yeah, I don't think side by side would work very good.
No, it's not great.
Unless you're a kangaroo.
Or the person's on their side.
But then you'd always have to have side sex.
Well, you know.
Yeah, that's not the best.
I don't know. Anyways, so
unless you can make one flaccid, and you know, if you can like control that at will.
I also wondered about like the blood flow thing if you have two, because when you just pass out.
Well, they're Klingon, so.
They've got two hearts, three lungs.
So one is redundant.
Apparently,
maybe it stays flaccid till the other one falls off.
Yeah, maybe it's like a salamander.
Yeah,
you pull on it and it just falls right off.
Exactly. Yeah. No masturbation for Klingons.
Oh, God. All right. Can we get into the episode?
We're talking this week about M'Pok Noir.
That's not a sex position.
Oh, it is for Cardassians, because we don't know what that means.
Yeah, it could be.
Because Deep Space Nine's original name was Tarok Noir. So, you know, Tarok from the front and M'Pok from the back.
Wow. This
episode. So our episode is us talking about the anal space station.
The anal space station.
What is Deep Space Nine?
Oh, geez. Anyways, Deep Space Nine, M'Pok Noir, Season 5, Episode 24, first aired May 19th, 1997.
People calling in if you get the date wrong?
Some people have flagged us once in a while that when something's a little bit off.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
The couple times I get feedback.
Once in a while. So we start off the episode. Kira, Dax, and Worf enter Quark's bar, find it very empty. And while they're in their raid order, we get a loud sound, like almost a jackhammer sound.
The first and only time Star Trek instruments make noise beyond beeps.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, what is with this nonsense?
Maybe O'Brien's just being a dick.
I think so.
Well, because when it cuts back into what they're doing, they're just still using their little like electronic beepy things.
Right. Well, so what's going on is Chief O'Brien and Nog are doing some conduit repairs, and apparently this is right by Quark's facility, his bar there. But they can't fix it right away because whatever when they've tried to fix it, it starts leaking on them again.
Yes, benign white smoke.
Yes. And...
I believe called steam.
Or a new pope has been elected.
Yes.
So what they decide that they...
Guy gets rocks off before he becomes the pope.
All right.
This episode might have a little bit of sex in it. We're being really bad.
Yeah, you guys are really off the rails today.
I don't know what's gotten into me other than the
drinks.
I have such a good influence on people.
Yes. It doesn't take much for Dave. Just takes a little shove.
No, but I'm so much worse today than normal. I'm sorry, everybody. This is probably going to continue happening for the rest of the episode.
Either this will like make your show way more popular or we'll just tank right after this. So.
I'll probably tank it.
Yes, I'm sorry, Aaron. I'm sorry, Dutch.
No, I don't know.
Girl talking about Star Trek sex. What could go wrong?
Well, you know.
Well, you're more into it, like as far as responding than Holly. Holly gets embarrassed and blushes, and it's really funny.
Hello, Holly.
We miss you, Holly.
Anyways, so their repairs aren't gonna hold, and they have to go to an abandoned Deep Space Nine
type of station called Impact Nor.
Because they can't replicate them themselves for, you know, reasons.
Bizarre.
Plot reasons.
Plot reasons.
Cardassian reasons.
Yeah. For some reason, they can't replicate that.
You,
which
you can't just assimilate the voles and turn them into the new thing.
Just
things,
sounds
right?
So ridiculous. Anyway, so they decide they're going to take like a crew on one of the runabouts to go to Impact Nor. Unfortunately, Impact Nor is abandoned, and they keep a lot of booby traps there to...
Hang on, though. Can we talk about the crew for a second?
Yeah.
They're like, okay, we're taking Garrick,
yeah,
O'Brien, Nog, and, oh, I don't know, a handful of people we can afford to lose.
Four or five red shirts?
Yeah, yeah, technical red shirts, even though they're mustard. Yeah, they're all going to die.
I mean, a Bolian, which is cool.
I like to see the Bolian. That was great.
I was so surprised to see a Bolian who's not a barber.
Yeah. Yeah, we should see.
Is there a second Bolian who's a barber, or just the one?
I mean, only one that we know.
I feel like the only Bolians we see are barbers.
Well, no.
Other than this guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem thrilled to be going.
Well, no, he's fine about going until he hears there's booby traps, and he's like, what?
You didn't tell me booby. So, obviously, he's a coward, or Bolians are cowards?
That's why they cut hair.
Oh. But they have no hair.
Exactly. They got to live vicariously through other people.
You're telling me the barber who cuts Worf's hair is a coward?
Yes. Wow. That's why Worf lets him cut his hair. It would be
Worf
beneath a war. It would be beneath a warrior to cut someone's hair.
You have no honor.
You have no honor. Cut my hair. Smell my prune juice excrement.
So. Yeah, so they assemble a team, but they decide to use Garrick because he is Cardassian. He would have probably a better idea what's going on at Impact Nor than just a regular Federation Starfleet officer. And so he agrees to join them. So as they get to the Impact Nor, the station, they can't even – he says don't even try to beam aboard.
Patent to scramblers.
You'll probably just, yeah, you're
well, it's like the DNA thing. They're like, it will see if you are Cardassian. I'm the only one who can go on first to make sure we can safely get on.
Right.
Which is fair.
Yeah, that's fair. So they do one of the upper docking pylons, and Garrick gets on. He reestablishes gravity, which is, that's kind of like, we don't see that too often.
We don't see that often. Like, I was really impressed to see, like, stuff fall. I was like, that's cool. Although, not a good idea to go to the upper pylon. You're so far away from everything.
Well, but they couldn't go to the other one. Remember, they, like, tried, and there was, like, some other reason they couldn't go to that one.
They were all, like, locked or something.
There's, like, six other, 12 other docking ports. This is a big space. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. Reasons.
Plot reasons.
Plot reasons.
It's all just the setup. Yeah.
Yes.
So, as Garrick opens the door, reestablishes gravity, and... he puts the atmosphere back on, turns the lights on, basically.
And it also turns on three stasis pods, and
yes,
three angry Cardassians wake
well,
up.
This two, is what I, two angry. Well,
but the third one couldn't wake up because he was dead.
He
but
was so angry.
He would have, yeah, he would have woken up if he wasn't so
he
dead.
He was so angry he died.
He would have been so pissed.
He went back in time and died.
I really wish this is where the stinger was, because the stinger is actually earlier in the show. This would have been a great stinger for, like, to see the guys, like, the lights come on in their pods, and then it just, like, cut out to the credits. That would have been a good spot.
Right. That would be that cool. Well, so as they make their way into Impact Nor, they split up, and as Garrick is in his team, they're going up a catwalk or some stairwell, and... his hand touches some slimy stuff.
Blue stuff.
Ew.
Blue goo.
Space juice.
Space juice. What's this? And then they notice that that there are the stasis pods, and they have two have been activated, and one has a skeleton in it. So he realizes that these are Cardassian soldiers left behind for some reason.
To be murder machines.
Basically just to kill.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Yes, for a 30-something-year-old episode.
So, as they go through, trying to, they have like a wish list of everything they want, must-haves,
could use,
and you know,
trophies.
Yeah, basic trophies. Exactly.
The one guy that they took with them like collects Cardassian insignias or some shit.
Yes,
he collects like trinkets.
Yeah. Yeah, and O'Brien even says, it's not time for that.
We can't do that. That's wasting time.
This is which, to me, my secret idea with that is that O'Brien used to save those from when he was in the war.
He has them all.
Sell them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He sells them to him.
It's like Pokemon.
No, no,
he's got them all.
That shit, it's mine.
And, oh, by the way, we keep on getting Garrick giving him O'Brien little...
The wild eyes.
I'm convinced he flirts with O'Brien in this episode, even before he...
He flirts with Bashir constantly.
Yeah, he's definitely into guys.
He's really into Bashir.
Really into Bashir.
He likes Bashir a lot.
He likes to mess with his mind. I'm not sure if he's actually into the, you know...
We skipped over a really important part. In the shuttlecraft on the way there, Garrick's playing a game with Nog.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Brian, do you want to play the winner?
Right.
And then they go over this banter, and he's like, well, you like
that's
to play...
That's what I'm talking about. That's when he flirts with him. He's like, oh, I really want to play with you.
And then he's like, well, you and Dr. Bashir spend all the time on the holodeck? And he's like, yeah, because we're at the Alamo, banging.
We have a theory that Bashir and O'Brien go to the Alamo. Alamo
is told about this.
Yeah, the Alamo is a code word for them just cooking up.
It's that foxhole romance before Montezuma comes and takes them.
Yeah, Montezuma's
a little less
revenge.
Angry than with Keiko, I can assume.
Or when Keiko's not there very often, so I mean, you know, might as well hit the Alamo.
And you know, Keiko, come on, she's just such a pain half the time. O'Brien's just trying to get his work done, and she's always like. Miles.
I can't cut my bonsai good enough.
With these super futuristic tools.
My bonsai won't snip itself. Yes, the space jackhammer.
That's what O'Brien says when he takes his pants off. These bonsais won't clip themselves. Keiko.
Is he asking him to get circumcised over and over?
I thought he just wanted a trim job, but...
Oh, the bush. Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a... Oh, never mind. I was going to just ask, what would Miles O'Brien's bush level be like?
They match the drapes.
Oh, yeah? All right. Just wondering. All right. Let's get back to it.
They got beady eyes, beady balls, just like his eyes.
Just looking at you the whole time.
They squint at you.
Anyways, let's get back to this episode, you wacky people.
Just like Bashir likes.
Brian and his balls are on the station.
Oh my god. All right. Well,
Aaron and I have not been together in the same room in weeks.
Yes.
I think maybe that's part of like the thing.
It might be.
We don't have that Skype lag like we did like the last couple of weeks.
The last 2 weeks sucked.
So, thanks for bearing with us, guys. We're in the same room again. So
yes.
It's different dynamic.
It's the Alamo all over again.
And Duchess is here watching us. We're both sitting here naked. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
It's so hot today.
It's wonderful.
I'm not wearing pants. It's too hot.
It's too hot to wear pants, people. All right. So back to the episode. While they're in, O'Brien's trying to remove some of this equipment. Nog realizes he's left one of his tools from the toolkit. He runs back. He runs back to the runabout.
Well, we can't get to the runabout because it's floating in space and exploding.
Yes. So when he looks out the window, it's like, oh, shit. So.
He's like, oh, bollocks.
Oh, O'Brien.
I want to see Nog say bollocks. That would be great.
Bollocks. No, that's wrong.
Yeah, bollocks.
Yeah, bollocks, boss.
Come on. Bollocks.
Bollocks. Way more like what Nog would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like that shitty British kid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so then they realize that they're not alone. Somebody else is on the station. And Garrick already found the stasis tubes that are open.
Mm-hmm.
So
let the murders begin.
The murders begin.
Well, then they do that little bit of research and they figure out what that ooze was.
Yes.
And that they're murder soldiers.
Murder right? soldiers. Aren't all soldiers kind of murder soldiers?
These are specially murder soldiers.
They're like specifically anybody who's not Cardassian, don't care, you're dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's great. This episode almost plays like a haunted house type episode. All the lights are off.
You gotta leave it.
And like it's great. It almost should have been a Halloween episode.
It's a clever episode for sure.
Hang on one second.
This is David Duncan, and we've got Aaron O'Brien, and we've got Duchess, and joining us is Kirk.
Hey.
Not the Kirk that you think, though.
Captain
Sorry.
James T.
Tiberius Kirk.
So we're doing a midway through introduction because he just got here. He beamed in. In fact,
he beamed in from the runabout just before it exploded.
Lucky him.
Yeah.
Very fortunate.
So, yeah, I'm glad you made it, Kirk. So. We are, so like I said, Nog saw this explode, the soldiers are out running around, and when they realize this, they know that, they have to basically get a message back to Deep Space Nine. But unfortunately, I think they said the transponders and everything have been kind of just destroyed or ripped out or something like that.
And they decide they should make the whole station into like a SOS beacon.
Like the deflector dish of Morse code, basically.
And
yeah.
So, but it's not just Deep Space Nine will see this, I'm sure.
Everyone will see it. Everyone. I guess it's deeper in, or maybe it's a part of the demilitarized zone. I don't remember if they specified
it's
where it
just
was.
So far, it's just far enough away to be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So they abandoned it.
Well, so they break up in teams, and while they're doing that, some of the no-name...
The collector guy dies first.
Collector dies.
And then the woman with him dies.
Yeah, so they... Yep.
She gets thrown off the balcony.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty brutal,
was
too.
It was only like 10 feet, though. Yeah.
They're red shirt. They're red shirts, like stormtroopers. Like, they didn't get hit anywhere vital, but they still died.
The judges are only going to give you a 2 for that dismount.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Those two get killed immediately by one of the Cardassian soldiers. And this is where they realize the soldiers are for real. And they...
Shuttlecraft exploding wasn't enough. They're like, maybe that was an accident.
Eh, maybe we
people
just,
are dead now. Maybe
we forgot to lock the runabout.
All the time.
Yeah, people just die. It just happens.
She just threw herself off the balcony.
What would be great is, like, what if they, like, decided, like, because they talked about the booby traps all the time at the beginning, but we never saw a booby trap go off or them disarm one, I don't think.
No, we
like,
don't.
Like, when Garrick first got on and he turned the, like, gravity and the lights and whatever, he did away with a whole bunch of that because he was Cardassian. He was able to just be like, yeah, turn it off. I'm home, boys.
I guess.
I agree with you. It would have been cool to see them, like, step into a Cardassian bear trap and break a leg.
That would be cool. Like, in that way, it could be up for dispute whether or not it was the people lurking or the things. It would be nice if they would have kept that suspense a little bit longer before they find out the people. And you have some traps kill people. But unfortunately, the Cardassians are doing all the hard work.
Well,
on the backs of Bajorans.
Or the easy work.
Well, murder.
I hear it's not easy murdering people.
It's apparently insanely easy. You can ask.
You can ask? Okay.
So
I mean, it's not considered murder if you're in combat.
Military veteran, not murder, but...
Well, just, I mean, like, I listened to the last podcast on the left. They talk about, like, you know, stabbing people, like, and strangling. It takes a lot longer than you initially would think.
Oh.
Yes.
As in...
People fight back.
Yes.
Unless you're really good at it.
Well, yeah, if you know exactly where to stab.
Like Garrick.
What yeah, care? Garrick would be very good at it. Well, O'Brien needs to finish their job that they got after they got killed, so he sends the bullion and
to cut someone's hair.
Yeah, and Amaro to go back to do some more work in the auxiliary room. But the bullion is nervous, doesn't want to do what he wants to do, and he says, "Well, I'll send Garrick with you."
I miss my shears.
And Garrick's like all creeping around, all ninja style.
Yeah, Garrick's like, yeah, gorgeous. I'm gonna go kill these
soldiers.
He's
like, no, I'm gonna go kill these motherfuckers.
Yeah, and he's all right with it too.
You know, my talents are being wasted here. Nobody needs anything hemmed, so I'm just gonna wander off and murder these guys.
I like that he can either make a great coat or kill you.
He's also really twitchy at this point. He's got like the Cardassian Coke itchies. He's like.
Yeah.
Scratching that neck.
Is it too hot in here, or have I not murdered anyone lately?
Why have I not murdered anyone?
And then the bullion's like, I feel better now that the tailor's looking for people to kill.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I would be too.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I also like how they discuss, it's like, you know, I bought something from Garrick, and I got mad at him because one of the sleeves was too long. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. He could have killed me in my sleep.
Yeah, they were talking about that while he's off killing other people. And I really wish they'd, like, zoomed in and just had him, like, roll his eyes a little. Because, like, you guys aren't even on my radar.
Yeah.
Until now.
Yeah, I didn't care. I wouldn't waste my energy with you. So, but he does then. Cause
yeah.
He hunts the one guy down.
Kills him.
One soldier down. The one Cardassian.
Yeah, immediately in the cryopod.
He hides.
Because he's trying to, like, break through something on the computer, and he's like, denied, access denied, and then he just disappears, and the other Cardassian's like, wait, where'd he go? Like, and then he just kills him.
Yeah. With a one-liner, too. Do you see me over here? Boom. Gotcha.
That's great.
Yeah, it was insane.
And then just before that, Garrick and O'Brien were talking about this possible drug, psychotropic drug that might increase Cardassian's xenophobic tendencies. And maybe that's what happened, that these soldiers were exposed to this drug and it went way beyond their control and they just started killing everybody. So, and that's possibly what Garrick gets his hands on, that blue...
Space juice.
Anyways,
juice from space.
It's like apple juice, but it tastes differently.
And a lot stickier.
More murdery.
There's more murder in this apple juice.
It's like pomegranate juice.
Yeah, there you go. Makes you want to murder.
Yeah.
Well, so he takes out the one soldier, and the other soldier is hunting the Bolian and the other guy, Amaro. Thank you. And while he was grabbing a tool for the Bolian, the Cardassian soldier comes and just basically steps right on his neck. And I guess he kills him immediately.
I actually rewound it because I was really confused why the other guy, when he turned and saw it, was just like, oh, I guess he's dead.
Yeah.
I was like, wouldn't that take a minute? It's like a metal plate. And the way he steps on it, I think it slices his head off is what they're intending to infer.
I wasn't really sure. It just looked like he stepped on his neck, but, I mean, he could have done anything.
Well, then Garrick Ninja kills him as he kills the guy. So.
Yeah, he kills him from behind, and then he stabs Amaro with the, what was it called?
He's like,
conducer?
It's like, this isn't even needed a coupler. And then...
I like how Garrick knows, and he's a tailor. He's not even an engineer.
And the sad thing is he died, and he didn't even get him the right thing.
Yeah.
So he stabs Amaro, and Amaro's just like, aww.
He hangs on long enough to talk to O'Brien when O'Brien finds him.
Strangely enough, he doesn't call O'Brien with his communicator.
No, O'Brien calls him and doesn't answer.
Yeah.
So he waits for O'Brien to find him.
Maybe he's passing out.
Maybe.
He did get stabbed pretty good.
You'd think as soon as he came to, he'd call, but he lasts just long enough to tell O'Brien that Garrick did it.
Garrick did it.
Then he passes on to the great beyond.
Yes, right. And this is where O'Brien starts to, you know, go on the hunt for Garrick. He's like, we have to.
He starts having his former military flashbacks.
Yeah,
kind of vain.
That's the music on the old military flashbacks.
Yeah.
While he's hunting Garrick.
That's what I hear when I have flashbacks.
Yeah, that's good.
It may not be the same for all veterans.
Yeah, yeah.
While they're hunting down Garrick, Nog gets kidnapped.
Immediately.
As soon as, yeah.
Immediately.
Just like, I got him! And then...
than a Doctor Who companion.
That's the weird thing. Like, he kidnaps him. He has zero reason to not kill him other than that he's a character that we know.
Yeah, that's all it was. Because I was thinking, please kill Nog. Please kill Nog. Please kill Nog.
Die, Nog, die.
And then, we never need to have to see Jake Sisko ever again.
Oh, I know. He could disappear.
If only. If only Jake Sisko would disappear.
Yeah.
I still say the bus seat was closed better than he did. Have you seen that meme?
Or who wore it better? Future clothes are shit, man.
Honestly, we actually have a gag between the two of us. It's just actually Garrick just super trolling Jake Sisko the entire time. It's like, no, these are what people on Terra are wearing these days.
the height of fashion. And then he's like, dude, you'll not believe what he's wearing.
Oh, that would be hilarious. This is a big joke.
I love that.
That would be great.
He almost never visits Earth.
It's like super, like, racist jokes are, like, written into it in Cardassian.
That would be even worse. Oh, my God.
He has no spoon on his head. He is dishonored.
Yes. So O'Brien decides that with Garak that he's going to meet at the promenade without weapons.
But they both bring weapons.
But they all both bring weapons. So.
And Garak's got all his friends hung up, like,
yeah,
from the rafters.
Like, from Wrath of Khan. You know, they're all hanging there.
Yeah.
Strangely, O'Brien seems all right with it, where McCoy was all freaked out.
Yeah, O'Brien's like, I've seen dead bodies before. It's fine.
It's fine.
O'Brien saw some shit in the war.
I think O'Brien saw a lot of shit in the war. We just don't know.
He's also had, like, this is season 5, so he's had at least 3 or 4 Suffering of O'Brien episodes happen to him already. Yeah. So he's used to pain and suffering.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, God Brian. Damn it, Keiko.
Yeah, Keiko!
Oh, and he's married to Keiko.
Keiko. O'Brien's life is one long ribbon of pain.
So much pain.
Yeah.
But he takes it like a true Irishman.
Yeah, he does. He just keeps going, you know. I'll dig the ditch. It's fine.
They have a fist fight.
Yeah, so they do put their guns down.
But he very carefully puts his phaser on top of his...
I knew that was a... once he said, he's like, that's
on top of his tricorder. It's like, oh, he's setting up a 1-2 bomb.
Yeah, yeah. So when Garak gets at a certain position, it goes off.
He taps his communicator, which is the trigger.
He says, I'm still an engineer. Beep, beep, beep. And it explodes. And only breaks 3 of his ribs or 2 of his ribs or something like that.
Dr. Bashir patches him back up.
I don't know.
But, yeah, they get back to Deep Space Nine. And,
Bashir patches him back up. O'Brien goes and talks to him. He's like, go tell that family.
That I killed. To kill the father.
I killed the husband. Yeah, go tell him sorry. I just don't think it would mean much coming from me. Maybe it'll mean more coming from you.
He says, you know there's going to be an inquest on that. He goes, I know.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, but who cares? I'm a tailor.
Nobody will believe this story.
Not part of Starfleet.
So
they have nothing to lose,
and
yeah, exactly.
And the episode just strangely just wraps up from there.
Yeah, it's
he killed a
really
bunch of people. Yeah,
and it's super ballsy.
Murdered a bunch of people, but you know, no one seems to care. Oh, he was high on crazy Cardassian drugs.
High on LSD.
And Garrick's only. I think Garak only shows up a handful of times in the entire 7-season run. Like he shows up like less than I think 12 or 15 times. He doesn't show up all that much. So it's crazy that they kept this character alive. Same thing with Nog. Nog's not a title screen character. I don't think
he's in more than Garak.
He is more than Garak, but I don't know if he's a
which annoys the crap out of me.
Yeah,
but whatever.
Garak is absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
but it's just kind of weird because this whole episode is basically like. Second list and back, because even O'Brien, his name is in the title of the show, but
he's still a secondary character.
He's still very much a secondary character. So it just
I feel like O'Brien is just because we got his first introduction, you know, on Next Gen, where he was kind of a secondary character.
He was like a fourth or fifth,
but still feels secondary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
he's still just fixing toilets.
Yeah,
basically.
Fix
the toilets.
But it works. This is a really good episode, considering main characters are barely in it. It's really well done. Garak and O'Brien episodes are almost always fantastic. And since Duchess and Kirk, you guys kind of picked this episode when we were talking at Nickel City Con, yeah, why did you want to do this episode?
Yeah, your takeaways and feelings.
This one is actually probably one of my favorite episodes from DS9, because up until this point, you know, Garak, you get the understanding behind it. It's like, oh, yeah, he was like a spy or something, but... you don't really take him very seriously, but then you just see this real, real dark side of him. And it's like, wow, he could just kill all of us if he wanted to. Good thing he likes us.
But that's why I think he plays well off of O'Brien, because for so long in Next Gen, it's just O'Brien in that transporter room going, I could transport you all into space. So, like... you know, one of us will kill us all in one way, one of us will kill us all in a different way. I feel like they, you know, have a weird sort of balance to them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good point.
I also like the history of Tarak Nor once it was, you know, left by the Cardassians, because it had shit luck. Anytime we went to Tarak Nor, bad shit happened, because the other big thing that happened there was Gul Dukat and his death cult.
And his little paw wraith sex cult.
In Puknor, yes.
Yeah.
You kept saying Tarak.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the sex death cult. Yeah, where he's like, oh, this is a half Bajoran,
half
Kardashian baby.
Baby is from God.
It's from the Paw Wraiths and not my penis. No, it couldn't be from my penis. My penis has never seen a Bajoran woman. Probably.
Maybe.
My father shipped many a ship.
Pat's got the Bajoran fever, so yeah. You know, that doesn't go very far.
Oh, it's like
so many children.
It's like Asian like fever, but
yellow fever.
Oh yeah, like it's like yellow fever, but for Bajorans.
Yeah, basically every war orphan from from the war. It was just Gul Dukat. Yeah.
They're all his.
They're all
his.
Yes.
Yeah.
His death camp must have been amazing.
Maybe not.
All the sex swings and beads.
Anyways, guys, what? Anything else about this episode? He's off the rails today, just so you know.
No, I did die. I mean, yeah. That was, what are you going to do?
I just really like when Garrick's the focus, because he's a really neat character, but as you said, he's not in it as much as we wanted, I guess.
God, he should have been the main character.
Of the whole series.
I'd love to see like a show wrapped around Garrick.
A whole Obsidian Order series, and it's just Garrick.
That would be so good.
That would be brilliant. Killing
Gul Dukat's dad.
There's so much great stuff that I'd love to see Star Trek do that they could never do because general audiences won't watch a show centered on aliens.
Yeah, like a whole series just about a Klingon, a Klingon bird of prey that's just out there.
That'd be rad.
That would be great.
Whatever it is the Klingons do in space, I
masturbate and drink blood wine.
They said they can't masturbate because they're like the lizards. Will fall off. Yeah,
the salamanders will fall off. Yeah. You missed the
bunch of sex jokes.
I'm fairly certain this is a fairly masturbatory heavy podcast because
we're masturbating right now.
It's because he lives with me and knows what I talk about.
All right, gotcha. Dave, what are you thinking about this episode?
Garrick episodes are always like my pride and joy to watch. One of the many reasons I love Deep Space Nine. They've got some of the best side characters. Like, it's one thing Voyager is really missing, and to an extent TNG too. Like, I guess TNG's got Lexana Troi pops up every couple of times, but Garrick pops up.
I love her so much.
I love her too, but like.
But also in DS9.
She does also pop up in DS9, but like, so you've got several pop up characters in Deep Space Nine, like, Garrick and Lexana, and anytime Jeffrey Combs shows his face.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. So I love Garrick episodes. Give me more Garrick episodes.
Guy's just a crazy good actor.
Yeah.
Get him for Discovery, please.
I was gonna say Andrew Robinson, if you don't know, he was in the first Dirty Harry movies where he plays a Scorpio killer. And he's just this crazy guy killing. And he's like Clint Eastwood has to hunt him down. So, and he's great there. And yeah, that was a great movie. And, then we get to see him as Garrick. Even with the makeup, he's still amazing.
He's his diction, it just stands out.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He's amazing. Yeah. See, he's a very polished actor. But, I mean,
he's on par with Mark Alamo, who plays Gul Dukat, I think.
Colomini is.
Yeah, Colomini's great.
I mean, he's really amazing.
I like seeing Colomini as a bad guy because he was first introduction to him was really as O'Brien. And he was very calm, he was very down to earth. But in speaking of other series that are Stargate Atlantis, yeah, he's like their main foil for like three seasons. Yeah. Stargate Atlantis,
it's great.
I need to watch Stargate Atlantis then.
It's
worth it.
Yeah, super worth it.
He's just recently. I don't know how old this series was with Steel Wheels. I think that's
Hell
called.
On Wheels.
Hell on Wheels, that's right.
Yeah, Anson Mount is also in Hell on Wheels.
Yeah,
who's going to be playing Pike in Discovery Season 2?
Right, and. Colomini's in. He plays sort of like a tycoon that owns like a lot of railroads and stuff like that.
I need to watch that show. I've never seen it.
I watched not all of it, but my wife was watching it, and he does great. It's amazing. I'm not gonna say it's the greatest show you've ever seen, but it's entertaining.
No. What about you, Ware? What did you think of this episode?
A super fun episode. Like everyone's been saying, Garrick just steals the whole show as usual. I always find that Colomini is like that actor that. You can put anything against it, and he's so he's almost like scenery, but he's so good. He makes it feels natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
he's not standing there all stiff like an actor. He's actually there.
He's there, but it's like he seems like he's almost like there isn't much going on. But he's really the guy who carries a lot on his shoulders. You just don't realize it because he does it so quietly,
nonchalantly almost.
Yeah. While Garrick is very just flamboyant and he's very in your face and he does a lot of like you know like you were saying the wild eyes and stuff like that. You know so. Of course, you got to like work through. Yeah, he's got
like poking at people in mind games and stuff while he's doing whatever. He's
right.
Always doing like seven things.
Yeah. So, and you know, what a clever idea to keep budget down is just use the same DS9 sets and then
with the lights low,
and you know,
you're saving money on electricity too.
Yeah, exactly.
Space juice round, it'll be
fine. Like we use some of those life pods from Voyager. That'll be great.
And, you know, but that's it's all cool stuff. And I like you said, it's a fun episode to see sort of like a manhunt, kind of scary, you know, them.
It feels to me kind of almost like a slasher film in a way, because it's like there's the hunting and there's like layers of people hunting other people.
I was thinking like almost, aliens. Like you said, the hunt house
sort of, but yeah.
And then Garrick just pops out and it's like, da, 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 da,
yeah.
And then we're back to Colmini.
Yeah. And no, that's what's great about it. This is a fun episode and not often done in Star Trek.
No, not. I mean, there's very few like horror themed episodes in Star Trek. Schisms is one. This is probably another.
Yeah, right.
That
right.
holds up pretty good. And then, I mean, there's the Haunting of Deck 13 on Voyager, which I mean, like it's like cheesy horror. It's not like actual horror.
Do Cat's Paw from the original series.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Giant cat.
Then she turns into a hot girl.
Yeah.
Like in Gary 7. I mean,
I think it's a guy actually.
Oh, that's sad.
I can't remember. It's been a while. So, but yeah, it's a fun. This is a fun episode, and I can't say anything bad about it whatsoever. It's just so entertaining.
Well done. And a Bolian is not cutting hair. That's the best thing ever. Seeing Bolians break out of the haircutting gig.
To reinforce those racial stereotypes. Again, Star Trek, you know, leading the way in that sort of thing.
Yes, that's right.
Bolians can do more than cut hair.
I guess they can.
I also like...
Make Bolians great again.
I also Make like Bolian. That we got to see, like, a piece of... Like, we know how crazy Cardassians are, as we learn about them throughout the series. But I'm like, we see this little crazy piece where they were like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah.
We're leaving them there.
Yeah, we're something big and cold that we can put this where nobody has to see it again. Oh, and Pock Nor, no one sees
Here's
that.
Someone else's problem now.
Yeah.
The Federation will stumble onto you, and, you know, we've got two victories then at that point.
Yeah, I wonder if the Cardassian has more of these Captain America-type soldiers that are all, like, you know...
Coked out
and ready to kill everybody.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Oh, the Obsidian Order must have. Like, we just talked about the Tom Riker episode. They're probably hiding, like, thousands of those things in that fleet of ships that they were building.
I think those fleet of ships were decommissioned or taken over.
By the coked out guys.
The coked out guys?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That means the ships have to be shaped like massive erections.
Oh, absolutely.
They are sort of shaped like dicks.
Yeah, backwards.
Yes, backwards dicks.
Backwards dicks.
Yeah, we were talking about, sense. We're going to have an episode where we just talk about ships that look like dicks.
Ships and dicks.
Flesh Gordon.
Yeah, there's a couple, yeah. Right.
Most standard rocket ships.
Yeah. Rocket ships, yeah.
Anything that's a rocket ship is phallic in general anyway. Right. So, I mean, that's half your job's done.
Yeah.
Job's done.
Saturn V?
Saturn V, yeah. Saturn V rockets. Giant penises.
Penises everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Can't stop.
Everywhere you look.
So then you'll have to do another one that's like the addition or the opposite of that one, which is like buildings that look like boobs.
Ooh.
It's like a lot of the, there's,
caves that look like Virginias.
The Klingon home planet has a couple.
It believes a lot of domes on Kronos.
Yeah.
They like their domes.
Oh, it makes you think of that, the South Park episode where they're doing heavy metal and it's like Nipopolis.
Yeah.
And like everything's got boobs. Like, there's boobs on the belts, there's boob statues, there's boobs all over the buildings. It was fantastic.
How about caves that look like vaginas?
Mmm.
Every cave.
Every cave is a vagina. That's a vagina.
That's why I go spelunking so much. It just turns me on.
Dive deep into the waters, Dave.
Dive deep. Oh, I hope there's waters in there, otherwise it'd be a rough ride.
People, keep him away from your caves. That's all I'm going to say.
If you see David, run away. Run in fear. Don't let him go spelunking.
There's semen in these caves.
I got my sailor's cap. It'll be fine.
All right. Well.
No, I think everything I could have come up with is pretty much already been said. All
right. Gotcha.
Penis. Vagina, tits. How's that?
We didn't talk about butts, though, but...
No! But we implied butts, because we did talk about the Alamo.
Yeah, we did talk about the Alamo.
Yeah. I told you about that.
The Alamo, yeah.
He knows the joke. We just said Alamo, and he laughed. That's great.
The Alamo!
I hope the audience laughs, too, whenever we said the Alamo.
That episode was so long ago.
Episode 9. We're on 171 or 172. It's one of our oldest jokes that we still bring up.
Are you doing this because
yes, she's docking her fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Cock docking. Yeah,
for O'Brien and Bashir.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
We must make them kiss.
Well, like we said, I think Garrick won.
While Montezuma watches.
I think Garrick really wanted Bashir, though.
I think so, too. Bashir. I thought you were saying O'Brien because Bashir kept declining his advances.
Yeah. I think it's almost to me like he was more entertained by Bashir continually refusing him.
Yeah.
I don't think he really wanted it. I think he was just like, I'm going to wear him down and bug him.
Yeah.
I'll
wear him down eventually and, you know.
And then that means
maybe.
I win.
Yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah, we should do like the next one with they're on the holodeck. Like maybe not the next episode, but the next time we talk about Deep Space Nine, like the one where they're on the holodeck and like Garrick busts in on him and he's like, "Oh, you're doing a spy thing, huh?" Yeah.
And he's like, "It's illegal. Get out of here."
Kiss the girl, get the key. They didn't teach me that in the Obsidian Order.
Garrick episodes, because we're talking about doing a Dax series, or start doing a Dax series. And I think we decided we're going to call it Spotting Dax.
Yes. Yeah.
It's great, right?
Because she has spots.
Super proof, yeah. No, I like it.
She has spots. She doesn't have all that many episodes just dedicated to her, so it's like, you know, you're going through the weeds finding her. And then, you know, she's a woman. She spots, probably.
I was thinking more just the way that it sounds very similar to Spotted Dick.
Spotted Dick.
Oh,
Spotted
yeah.
Dick.
Yeah, Spotted
Dick. That's where I thought you were going with it.
I was going a lot more meta. I did not realize.
There's a lot of levels.
There's a lot of levels to this.
There's new levels that we're just finding out about. So, yeah Spotting Dax. Yeah,
I like it. So, do we ever find out if in the inquest anything happened to Garrick?
Nope. I don't think they reference this.
And it's like,
but like you said, he's not Starfleet. So really, what are they going to tell Cardassia? And they're going to go
be like, so he's your problem.
Well, he's exiled from Cardassia anyway. So Cardassia's going to be like, whatever.
But then he's under Federation. He killed. I mean, even if you're not.
But it's technically. My guess is that they're going to consider it not his fault because he was under the influence of this crazy ass drug.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got O'Brien's testimony and then Bashir's testimony for treating him for it. So
Bashir's fucking, yeah.
And they're bros, so it's like, no, he's cool.
Yeah, they've got all this testimony.
Little murder. It's cool.
And the worst thing that happened to him is to be planting flowers in New Zealand. I mean, like, really, I mean.
Yeah. they're better off. That's the other thing. Starfleet knows they're better off keeping Garrick around and keeping him happy because they need him for shit.
Occasionally, yeah, it funnels a little bit of information or...
Starts a war with the Romulans.
He starts translating codes
and
shit,
well.
You know, yeah.
But, I mean, the idea, though, is that you're, you know, you, obviously you killed these Federation crew members, and then you just open up your tailor shop the next day and...
Like nothing ever happened.
And you're still back in the community. So if, think about it, someone killed, like, your husband, your wife, your friend, and... Just down the street is the guy who did it.
Yeah, honestly, I think mostly they're going to be just like, yeah, some Cardassians went crazy and killed him over at Impact Nor. Super sad.
Yeah.
We're not going to say it was Garrick.
Covered up, yeah.
They could change the narrative, yeah.
They should DS9, the people of DS9 would probably lynch him at that point. So there's, you kind of keep quiet on that thing, I think.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Your top people know about it, and but you don't really go spreading that information.
You can easily make fake news, all right? Fake news. Space Force.
Technically, he only killed one of the Federation. He only killed Amaro. That's the only person he actually killed.
So we just blame Cardassia and sweep the rest
out. But how does Nog feel about him?
Oh, we'll just hit him on the head.
How does Nog feel about anybody, though?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point.
Like, the most we really see Nagi mode is, like, that, was it, that episode that's later on where, like, he gets his leg blown off or something?
Oh, God.
The only part of time I was really interested in Nog in general, because it's like, why? It was the screaming. That's when he gets injured. He screams, like, really, really loudly. I was thinking, it's like, is that a Ferengi thing? It's like, is that part of the, like, they have, like, really big ears for that particular reason, so if one of them is in trouble, that was basically my entire thought process.
Hmm. Yeah.
But the rest of that episode was terrible.
He's on the holodeck, like, just moping around, yeah.
Basically crying into the hall, yeah.
But I love Vic Fontaine, though, so it's kind of nice thing, but Nog, you know.
Nog ruined it.
Vic's little thing, though, is I did like that because he gives him a cane, and it's like, well, this isn't a really strong cane, so you can't put too much weight on it. That's a trick we use in recovery with people a lot.
Yeah.
Especially like a lot of injured veterans, we use that trick quite a bit, and it does work. You know, it
makes them
like,
stylish too.
You're using it as a crutch a little bit too much, so it's like mentally weaning you off of something.
Gotcha.
Really simple. I like that. Otherwise, I hate it.
Because they clearly did good research on helping somebody with that kind of issue.
Yeah, and if there's the one thing the VA is really good at, it's, artificial limbs. They're tops now.
That's cool. Yeah, I've seen a lot of videos where they, like, these artificial limbs are pretty amazing nowadays.
The one our man killed my wife.
What? You find that man.
Make him dead. How did a one-armed man kill your wife?
He had an arm cannon.
He arm banged her since he didn't have fingers.
Oh, jeez.
Arm banged her in her cave.
Oh my God.
Once you get past the wrist, it's all over.
Yeah. No.
Every time I tell some terrible sex joke, he's over there
just keeps going.
I have to live with it.
Yeah. So me too. Me too.
We don't live in the same house.
For 12 years, you don't.
Well, we're going.
Do you think I'm
going
to marry this?
We're going, what? On
3 years.
3 years now, yeah.
Yeah, so. We just had our 3-year anniversary a couple months ago. Yeah. No ring yet.
No.
But.
Yeah, you bastard.
Oh, I'm supposed to buy the ring? Okay, yeah. I gotcha. That's my fault then. I'm sorry, guys. You have to ask your wife if it's okay.
She doesn't care. She doesn't care, believe me.
You can't softball it in there like that.
No, she's just going to knock that right out of the park. Or at least bunt.
Yeah. Then you make your infielder scramble for it.
That's right.
Guys, it's great having Aaron in the same room again. It's magic in a bottle when it happens. So,
it's the Alamo all over.
It's the Alamo all over again, guys.
Space juice everywhere.
Space juice.
Juice in space. I mean, juice in space.
Oh, did you notice, by the way, that he has a Klingon tankard? I love it. It's beautiful.
No, hey. I do like
it. Yeah.
Dave will have everything.
You should get some of those. Which will probably be the very next thing we do.
I need more Klingon tankards.
Yeah,
yes.
Trolling through the internet to order some Klingon tankards.
There's not a whole lot of like deep philosophicalness to Impact Nor, unfortunately.
Not really.
It's just like a
murder thing.
Murder sex dungeon.
Oh, there was another thing I was going to talk about. You see it in one. It's when Garak is trying to break into that computer, whatever, and he's tricking the other Cardassian to sneak up on him. You see, like, on his neck, and you only see it on certain Cardassian males, so I'm not sure if it's makeup that they put on, but he has, like, right here, some of his neck scales are yellow.
I didn't notice that, but I did notice that when he was rubbing his neck, and I was like, wow, that must be really good makeup that he can rub his neck, and it's not.
falling off.
Right, yeah. He's not peeling it off.
Like the one episode where Alamos is like straight junk and right off. No one cares.
It's like right up here. It just peeled off his neck and it's just hanging there and nobody noticed it.
That's hilarious.
That was when we were playing with the VLC like speed up slowdown function, I think.
Yeah.
And then we kind of noticed it then. Mark Alamo's got amazing diction, so if you speed it up and slow it down, it's not really much of a difference. But no. Nana Visitor sounds drunk every time you drop the speed down just a little bit.
That's hilarious.
She sounds so, like, either drunk or high or something. High. It's really bad.
Interesting.
That's hilarious.
Okay,
I wouldn't put it past her, though.
Yeah. I actually met her a couple of cons ago, and I went up to her because I was a vendor, and I had this thing that I wanted her to sign, but I'd forgotten it. She was, like, so sweet about it. She's like, oh, I'm so sad. And I was like, it's Gul Dukat. I wanted you to sign him. And she's like, why? And I'm like, and I wanted you to write Suck It, Dukat. And she starts laughing hysterically.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, and then I wanted to send it to Mark Alamo because I know he doesn't do cons. And then he can write your mom. And she was like,
oh my god!
Like,
that's awesome.
That is
really
amazing.
Funny, and I don't know if you guys can see on my webcam, but he looks more like
Garrett. More like Damar than he does.
No, he looks
like
more like Damar a little bit.
Oh, yeah. The webcam's not super great.
The same mold. I don't know.
But he does sort of look Garrick to me from the webcam. Mm-hmm. That's pretty
funny.
He does
not look like what he's supposed to look like. No. But most toys don't.
Mark Alamo, but
they also, for whatever reason, like all the Cardassian weapons they gave me are like electric blue.
Oh, really?
Well, it's kind of like the Star Trek animated series. Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Very blue.
That's very blue.
Like, they didn't even bother to paint them or color them.
It was the original color when they came out of the mold. It's kind of like
an
animated...
It's the same. It's the color of the plastic they used. That was it. They didn't care past that point.
No.
Well, they're like, we're going to make so much money off this.
There's a Morn figure.
There's, it's just like the animated series where the guy was colorblind and, like, you know, all that stuff is pink in the animated series. It doesn't need to be pink, like the Tribbles and, like, Klingon costumes and stuff like that, because the guy was colorblind. It's a shame.
A shame.
That sucks.
I really hope they don't get a colorblind guy for the next-gen animated series.
That would be hilarious.
For the love of God, please make sure the next-gen guy knows his colors.
I just want to know how good of a colorist you are if you're colorblind.
I mean, not great, because Nurse Chapel's
color. It's gray.
I'll use the slightly less gray color.
And this brown.
there's one episode where Nurse Chapel has, like, a blue uniform and a red arm.
Yeah. It's great.
Because the animated series is so great. Yes.
Yeah. I used to remember watching the animated series.
I know.
You can Netflix them all. They're
You can torture yourself all over again.
Yeah. I just don't think I'm that much of a masochist anymore.
I
really get into it.
I was in the army for 9 years.
Yeah. I really get into it because it's so bizarre. There's so much bizarre stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I really like. It's so weird.
It's so bad, it's circled back around again to interesting.
Yes. I'm not going to say it's good, but I'm like,
exactly.
Oh, that's... And you know what? And when you watch it, there are seeds of really interesting things in there.
Yeah.
But they just don't execute them.
Thematically, there's some really cool ideas.
Yeah.
Which is why, and we were talking about that earlier, that they like mined a whole bunch of that from that for the newest stuff coming out, because not a lot of us watched it.
Well, yeah, I mean that's what Disney's doing with Star Wars right now.
They're pretty much, yeah,
doing the same exact stuff, taking everything from either the comic books that are in legacy now or whatever the heck they call it, or even the novels, and they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna just kind of roll this into our thing.
It's not a bad idea sometimes, because you think there's a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah,
but then you get The Last Jedi, and...
Yeah, that was abysmal. We did a podcast on that back when that came out. You can listen to how much I hated it. It was great, because we had people who ran the gamut.
I've got that currently bouncing around the inside of my skull, so I can figure out exactly
where it was. Yeah, we had a bunch of other guys that have their own podcast, Nerdynomicon.
Hardly Awesome Podcast.
Yeah, and we sat down, we saw the movie, we sat down, we talked about it, and we ranged from people who are loving it, Dave hated it.
And everything in between. It was a really great conversation.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy, so. Interesting stuff.
Absolutely. Well, anything else for Impok Norgeis?
I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just one of those episodes that, like, you know, maybe it's part of DS9 where they didn't get super philosophical as much as
they did sometimes.
Well, not as much as TNG or TOS, because in those episodes you can really get into it, and, like talk philosophy. And here it's just kind of like it's just what it is. Unfortunately,
but there is a if you really look at it, there is a philosophical part to it. But the episode itself didn't really talk about it, and it was that whole, you know, using these soldiers to turn them into something that was basically inhuman and unusable, and is that ethical? Then leaving them there, is that ethical? And then what ended up happening to Garrick, and how do you even deal with that? Because they never told us, they left it up to us to kind of figure out what that was going
to
be.
Well, I mean, and no offense to Kirk, but I mean, I think a lot of people, or a lot of people in high places, look at soldiers as throwaway.
Yeah. Oh. Well, no, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like...
Yeah, just I'm right there with
just you. Send them in, that's fine, you know, but it's never their kids.
Zed Bredekin, you know? I conquered Mavis 3. I sent in waves and waves after troops until we won.
My own troops!
My very own troops. They died for good cause.
Yeah, exactly.
It was...
Wave of something in the something second. Oh, the killbots?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Show them the medal I won, Kip.
Show them the medal I want. I love Billy West so much.
But yeah, I mean that's actually a good point. I didn't think of it that way. But to kind of
there's
answer
layers to this shit.
It's up to the person who watches it to really interpret it too, which is another thing. Like maybe they didn't mean that, but that's what I got from it.
Yeah, but at the same time, like all the questions you're asking, is this moral? And like, I just pretty much. Like, if it's Cardassians that did it, I'm just going to assume it's not moral. nothing about their society is good and wholesome.
Oh, no. They're basically Nazis in space.
I guess the reason I didn't think of those philosophical things is just because the answer is like, oh, it's all awful because they're Cardassians and Cardassians are awful. So I just didn't even think of that philosophical bend because it's just like, oh, it's a Cardassian thing. So it's going to be awful by default, because I mean, like you're guilty.
Yeah,
you're always guilty if you go to trial. Like you wouldn't be put on trial if you weren't guilty. You're almost always executed unless you could work out a special deal with, like, you know, Judge Judy Cardassian.
She was great. Yeah.
I can't.
That Bajoran judge, but that Cardassian judge was phenomenal.
She was good, but it's just there's. I can't think of anything super redeeming about the Cardassian people in general. I mean, they're good characters, but just as their society.
Well, yeah, they're good villains.
Oh, it's a villainous society.
They make good villains because they are incredibly amoral.
Yeah.
And that may just, like, it's kind of like how human evolution occurs, you know. We have, I guess, a moral center or whatever. Just, you know, based on how we developed. But it's it's entirely possible that the way society developed on Cardassia, you know, what are morals?
Well,
this is more effective.
I mean, they say that people, you know, like compassion and morality evolved in humans because it helped us survive, because it helped our other, you know, family, tribes member, or whoever was there with us. Mm. The thought I had, remember we talked a couple episodes back of Ray Wise's character in Voyager?
Yeah.
The guy who could translate anything?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a race that just was very good at
translating. Naturally good at translating?
Naturally good.
Yeah,
what if
look at some, yeah.
They're just naturally good at being Nazis.
Well, what if there are some people there, like, that is their thing?
I mean, they are very militaristic, but, like, in a different way than Klingons, because Klingons claim to value honor, where Cardassians...
Klingons are BS, for a lot of... They claim honor, but they just do anything they want.
I'm pretty sure...
They do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it just means something different in their language.
Yeah.
Whereas Cardassians are just, like, militaristic to be dicks more than anything. Like, Klingons are dicks, but they're dicks in different ways.
The one Cardassian I can think of, that one who they had tried to genetically modify Kira... to trick him into thinking it was his daughter, to get him to, like, defect so they could prove that he was, like, defecting, I guess, or whatever.
I forgot.
To prove that he's a traitor.
I don't remember the episode, but I do remember the episode.
There's some really great...
Zamar?
No, that's... Zamar's
no, Zamar. Legate something. Anyway.
That's... there's a couple good Kardashian characters, but most of them...
Yeah.
And... You know, maybe those are genetic deviations. They're just on the outside. Who knows?
Right.
What about that one Cardassian scientist who really wanted to do O'Brien because, you know,
yeah,
she thought he was flirting with her.
Yeah.
Because he was being an asshole.
Yeah.
That's great.
It does.
That turns me on.
That's how flirting works on Cardassian.
I know a lot of guys that would do really well at Cardassia.
But like if they're all dicks, how do you know if anyone's flirting with you or not? I can't see Cardassians being nice all that often. So is it like being nice, being mean?
Maybe we can't do the jump. Just like when we talk about the mirror universe, we don't understand how a society can sustain itself by just always backstabbing to get to the next level.
Yeah,
we don't understand it either. So I don't know.
That's true. Star Trek's great. I love Star Trek. It is a wonderful fictional universe. But unfortunately, most of the alien races are too, like...
two-dimensional?
Yeah, they're stuck in a little thing, and they have to always be in this one little, like, sliver of, like, personality. There's always, like, Klingons, like, or just dumb animals who want to fight and claim to have honor.
You have no honor.
Yeah. I mean, the Cardassians are just straight-up Nazis and just assholes. Like, nothing they do is moral.
Yeah, right. They're always going to, like, do something.
I mean, they're super interesting characters, because, I mean, Gul Dukat gets pretty three-dimensional, even with his two-dimensional limitations.
Right.
Yeah. Gulmissette's little... The only Cardassian with facial hair ever. Still Mark Alamo.
Yeah, he was, like, the first Cardassian, and it was because of, like, how his neck was that they came up with the ridge thing. He's such a great character.
And Mark Alamo doesn't really...
Oh, my God, he's such a good cat.
Yeah.
So evil.
And so good at doing what he does. And he's such a great actor, too. They get such great, like, underappreciated actors for Star Trek, too.
Oh, absolutely.
We didn't even ever touch on the fact that I wrote an erotic fan fiction about Gul Dukat.
Yes!
No, I don't know about this.
We need more of this, less of everything else, to quote Robbie.
It's
terrifying.
Terrifying, yet ridiculously detailed.
Really?
She's made some amazing advancements into Cardassian physiology as well.
We need this on our Facebook group page.
Way too much thought process put into it, I think.
Where are we going?
I see an alien race and I want to know what their dick looks like. I'm sorry.
We're
also curious.
Is that Cardassian penises have ridges?
Of course they do. They have to.
Like their necks.
Like the cords coming out basically to their hips. It gets way wider, is it? Yeah.
Oh, all right. So
that makes sense.
A big, like,
which kind of why like,
triangle.
So, you know, Garrick is doing a job as important as being a tailor, because let me tell you, if that's the way your
you
penis
need some
is
room
shaped,
down there, yeah.
You gotta that's a very important job in Cardassia.
Weren't we talking about that with Slash Fiction?
Oh yeah, we were talking. We said we wanted to do a Patreon reward where Aaron and I dramatically read Slash Fiction.
Yeah.
So So if you
but
get,
that's not even PG-13 or R. That's like X.
She goes way beyond.
Way beyond, baby.
It's not like Chuck Tinkle's pounded in the butt by my own butt. It's
worse.
Way worse.
No one has reached out to us saying they want this from us from our Patreon. So we don't know if we should, but it's something we've
and then you can read in excruciating detail about the texture of Cardassian gum.
Oh my god.
Foamy.
Dramatic readings. It'll be fantastic. But no one's we've mentioned it a couple times and no one has taken us up on that offer. So not sure how it'll go over.
Make sure teasers and see if anybody like listens to it. You know what I mean? Like just like Flat do like up. Some little
That's
bits.
Hilarious.
Be like we recorded like a chapter. Let's see what you guys think.
But just putting that on the regular feed, people would be like horrified.
Yeah.
We're already pretty R-rated as it is.
I know.
Might as well take that jump and right that next
Yeah,
phase.
just bring it right over, yeah.
Not for children. Do not listen in the car with children. Please like so many disclaimers.
You're going to learn the C word from me. Okay.
Do not expose this podcast to children, your boss, your family.
Don't play it loud at work.
Don't play it in front of any kind of vegetation.
No, play it at a restaurant. I don't care.
Oh, that would be great.
While they're eating.
while you're eating.
Yes.
Piped in.
Like a hushed whisper.
Did you order the clam chowder?
Oh.
What are we listening to? That's great.
This is fantastic. I like this idea. Let's bring this idea back, guys. If you want to hear erotic fan fiction, I mean, read dramatically between Aaron and I, that'd be hilarious. So let us know. We even have I did get one response. My friend Tanya Holly, she volunteered to do a female voice for if we have for erotic fan film fiction. Okay. So that's the only response we've gotten. We've gotten a volunteer.
He was just commenting, oh, she could voice Kira's mom. And I'm like, she's not in mine. I invented somebody else because we know he was just banging Bajorans left and right.
Well, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. There
sounds
you go.
Good. Well, that was Impact Noir and lots of sex jokes coming from myself and Duchess.
Yeah.
Aaron and Kirk are shaking their heads many, many times in this episode.
We won,
yes.
Won at what? I don't know.
Who knows? But,
goal in life is to basically make him like snort like his own spit out of his nose, laughing so hard. I've done it like twice.
That's what I do to Aaron. Like whenever I can get
a good relationship.
when I get a big good laugh out of Aaron, I feel like I've accomplished a mission for the evening. So that's I try to be as absurd as I possibly can.
Tip on here.
So, while we're heading out, where can we find you guys on the interwebs? Or if people want to chase you guys down.
I have my Instagram and my Facebook business page. If you search Eternally Thirsty, it all comes up for that. On Patreon, it's Duchess of Salt, because I am salty and bitchy about things. Do you even know your Facebook URL?
What's a Facebook? I mean...
it's like a yearbook.
What is Facebook, really?
Let me look it up for you. Oh my God, you are the worst. You do not have one set, it doesn't look like.
Look at that. I don't even have one set.
You don't have one set. Great. So you can't find him, but you can find me and then find him.
I'm just a ghost on the web.
Facebook ghosts.
Really bad about social media.
On the web. Well, great. That's where we can find you guys. Go check them out. And check CMET Cons. I mean, they're mostly around the New York area, I assume, for conventions.
Yes.
We're doing Salt City Comic Con next week. I have shaved for it.
Where's that located?
Syracuse, New York.
Okay, gotcha.
Awesome. And I'll probably be seeing you guys at RockCon.
Yeah.
In September. So that'll be fun. So go see them if you're in the Syracuse area or Rochester for RockCon.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, for the show?
Yeah, I always post like a schedule on my Eternally Thirsty page on Facebook about which cons I'm going to and where they are.
Awesome. Yeah, go check them down and say hi. I heard you on Synthaholics, and you guys said a bunch of dirty things with David, and that was great. So yeah, go track them down and say hi for us.
I'll be like a 16-year-old who comes up to me and is like, I heard you on Synthaholics, and I'll be like, oh, God.
Oh, God. Look, there's a lot of things I got to explain to you.
First of all, here's what anal is.
Oh, God!
We said it a lot, and we didn't explain it.
Really explain.
Yeah, we just assume people know what's going on. So, Well, with Synthaholics, you can find us at Synthaholics.com. You can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. Join the Facebook group at Facebook.com/group/Synthaholics.
Yeah, you dummies.
Yeah, check out our YouTube channel.
Much Synthahol, you can always go to Synthaholics Anonymous.
You should really do that.
It's true.
If you have a problem.
Yeah, if you have a problem. But you can come to us and tell us.
We'll tell you. We'll give you more Synthahol.
Yeah, we'll just hand it out. I make Long Islands and Romulan Ale and all sorts of fun stuff. Check out our YouTube channel, like we said up front. Duchess was on my Nickel City Con cosplay video. She was wearing her horns, and it was great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And a very nice dress. So check that out. Say hi to her there. And
definitely go onto Apple iTunes, rate and review us there, 5 stars preferably, and give us a nice review. Also, if you have a chance, if you have some money, go to our Patreon.com/Synthaholics. Throw us some money that way. It would be great to keep the lights on here in our studio. And last but not least, if you know a friend, if you know somebody who's into Star Trek or into spaceships that are shaped like penises, just... tell them about Synthaholics, the podcast, and let them know that what we do, and word of mouth is a great way to get the show, to promote the show.
Oral is a great way to promote the show.
Yes.
Yes. So just one other thing I forgot to mention. Our Twitter is, I personally am at David_J_Duncan. Aaron's at Blackbird2004. Holly is at Lunar Thistle. And the show is at Synthaholic Duo on Twitter.
Anything else?
I think that's it. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you, Duchess and Kirk, for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Glad to be.
Yes, very good.
Sure. Just glad to be.
Glad to be. Not here, but
just anywhere. Just around.
Farther away from all the dick jokes.
Oh, he just floated away.
He's been forcibly decompressed.
No longer am.
Oh, no, you're forcibly decompressed. Aw.
He gets sucked out into space.
Really hard.
Blown out. Yes, blown out.
All
right. Oh, thank you all for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. Not enough dick jokes. Da, da, da.
We should have like a ding every time there's a dick joke.
That should be your ringtone.
Or no, play the air horns.
No!
I need to bring those back. Those were great.
No, so he started doing this air horn effect once in a while, and it was probably very distracting to the listeners.
Yeah. Holly had left us for a while, and she came back for an episode, and she's like, Holly Michelle, brr, 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 and she's making the air horn now, brr, 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 brr. And so I found the sound effect she was trying to mimic, so I threw that in like 6 times in an episode.
Nice.
I toned it down, so I haven't done one in a little while. So
Don't. Only once in a while. Don't do it for every dick joke.
Oh, there's too many in this episode.
Oh, my God.
You won't be able to hear us talk. It'll just be air horns the entire episode.
Be like, here's the censored episode. It's just one long air horn.